Hello everyone and welcome to episode 45 of the Peer Geek Podcast, and as always, thanks for taking the time to tune in. Now, I know I say that every single episode, I really mean it. Today's no exception. We have a great guest lined up who is certainly someone I've wanted to get on the show for a long time. I've had the pleasure of meeting him and a couple of years ago at a workshop in Shanghai, and I'm looking forward to introducing him to you today. He teaches in Saudi Arabia and is always online and sharing lots of stuff and lots of value in the stuff that he is, you know, pushing out to the phys ed community. So I'd like to introduce Adam to the podcast. How are you, Adam?
I'm very well. How are you?
Yeah, very good, mate. Thanks for taking the time out of your day to jump on the call and share some insights into how you're using technology in phys ed. Now, I mean, for those people that don't know you, where do you teach and how long have you been doing it?
Okay, this is my eighth year teaching, but I previously obviously met you in Shanghai 2 years ago, and then I most recently moved to Saudi Arabia, and I'm currently teaching about 3 hours outside of Jeddah, a small international school called Yanbu International School, which is part of the International Schools Group. And we have 7 schools within our district located at different areas of Saudi Arabia.
Awesome. And what's attracted you to phys ed? Why, how did you go down this path? What were you doing when you were in your childhood that sort of led to this?
So a lot of people go through life and they don't really know what they want to do. I didn't have that problem. From the age of around 9, 10, I wanted to be a phys ed teacher. And one of the main reasons for that was my granddad. My granddad was an elementary principal, and he actually got given an MBE for his services to education from the Queen.
Awesome. That's amazing.
That's
That would have had a big influence, definitely. I have that same sort of parallel with you. I hadn't even realized that. Me personally as well, it was very early on that I realized that the physical education teacher was something that, you know, I would like to be. And it was that sort of amalgamation of the fact that I really like sport and, you know, what can I do with that if I'm not going to be an elite athlete, which was, you know, the big dream that everyone sort of has. What can I do in that same sort of area? And phys ed was it for me. And I mean, it was always a subject that I enjoyed. So, I mean, I think we share that that common interest. What about technology, though? Like, where does that come from? Why are you interested in using it? And, how did that start?
Well, it really goes back to early on in my teaching career. I was teaching at a sixth form college called Runshaw College in England, in the northwest of England. And they were looking for someone to use a little bit of tech in the department. And I remember first introducing it, and we were doing trampolining. And we had the flip cam. We managed to get some flip cameras, and we had, I think, maybe 4 or 8 flip cameras at different angles of the trampoline. The kids would then record their performance. I'd then have to take the flip camera off, plug it in, put it on a USB drive. They would then take screenshots from it. They would then put the lines down it. For example, if it was a positive, they would put a green line down. If it was an area for improvement, then they would put a red line down, and then they would write about it. And now I look how far it's come now with the advances of UberSense, etc. And we can just talk about it like we're doing now and just record that evidence rather than having all this paper evidence.
Absolutely. I mean, that sounds very similar to the very first stuff that I ever did in the phys ed classroom, flipped cameras. The flip cam, before they sort of were phased, I think they got bought out or acquired or something. And I mean, I was just blown away then at how simple they were to be able to point, shoot, record, and watch back on the tiny little screen that was there, and then to be able to share them. And then you think about that now, it just seems so archaic and so difficult. And it sort of says a lot about why you've got success now and why people do, because you persisted and you made the effort to do that back then when it was more difficult. So when the technology becomes more intuitive and easy, then it's just only it's only self-obvious that people are going to use it, like yourself. So I mean, what are the big things that you tend to use not on a daily basis, but, you know, regularly to benefit learning and improve student engagement?
So I teach everybody from kindergarten all the way through to grade 12. And that obviously gives me a variety of different things that I can use within technology. So for the lower age groups, I quite like using stuff like Class Dojo, which definitely, I never show individual points. It's always as a class. And we do it as a class thing.
So for Class Dojo, if people aren't familiar with that, how does it work?
So Class Dojo is, the way I have it set up, is I have the computer with the class score, and it's a big pie chart, for example, and that'll be beamed up on the TV screen. And then throughout the lesson, they can score points for being really active in class, for helping each other, for coaching each other. You can give them points for different things, and I give them a target of trying 95% or above. I quite like that, as well with one that Ross Halliday sort of showed me, which was Top Hat.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, rather, I'm not a fan of students putting their hand in the air when asking questions. So what this will do is it'll put a magic hat on the display, and then it'll pick a name out of the magic hat.
Mm-hmm.
So that I use that one quite a lot for asking questions.
In the junior, in sort of the younger levels, is that what you mean?
Yes.
Yeah,
in the elementary stages, yeah. Then for the older kids, definitely the video analysis apps, Ubersense. I've also been using Plickers a lot recently.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, probably since December, January time. Awesome. Some of the other stuff is definitely Google Drive with the older kids, just making my life for the admin a lot easier.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and I think you're probably along the same vein as me that, you know, there's a couple of different reasons why I like tech, and I think you've touched on all of them there. You know, whether it makes your life easier or the admin's life or the student's life. I mean, in Google Drive being that example, whether it helps, you know, them drill down into learning, like e.g. the Ubersense, or whether it's you know, an organizational effectiveness sort of strategy tool and something that you can get feedback, like assessment wise from, then it's definitely something that you value. So do you use Class Dojo and the data that you collect on that, like behavior data, et cetera, in any form of, say, reporting or with communication with parents, et cetera?
No, you can do. The way I use it is we have a sort of elementary little competition,
mm-hmm.
and then the class who scored the most positive points for our positive PE program over that month will then get their class in the Hall of Fame that goes up on the gym wall.
That's awesome.
And then they get to use a certain amount of equipment in recess time. Yeah. As a bit of a prize.
Yeah, I mean, the thing I love about Class Dojo is it actually makes some of these things that we think are hard to measure a little bit easier to measure and capture, such as behavior and the interpersonal stuff. And I love that whole idea of that positive classroom and turning it into a competition rather than some sort of assessment and report. I've also seen recently that you've been playing around with heart rate monitors. What have you been doing there?
Yeah, with the... We were very lucky. Our district asked if the different schools had any sort of innovative ideas. And one of the district goals this year is 21st century learning.
Mm-hmm.
So my idea was to purchase some GoPro cameras and some H7s. And after a lot of different discussions that went on, we were successful at getting the H7s. Now, what I really wanted to do was go with the Polar Heart Rate website, but that isn't actually available in the Middle East at the moment. It's only available in certain countries. But we've definitely made a good start. So we managed to get 40 heart rate monitors, and we've been using those in the middle school, high school PE classes, especially within the health units, and just making them aware of what sort of exercises they have to do to get into the different training zones. And I even took in, for example, cans of Coke, Snickers, cookies, just to give them an idea of what sort of exercises they need to do and at what intensities for them to be able to burn off the different calories,
mm-hmm.
Just during one PE lesson, etc.
Yeah, awesome. I mean, and you had a, I remember hearing a funny story about someone who had left the heart rate monitor on and you were still able to track it through the wireless capacity of the iPad.
Yeah, we, the end of the day, we had, like we say, I have 40 and 39 had been given back in, but there was one missing. So it's still beating on the iPad. So I had to go walking around the school until I actually found who had it. And no one actually owned up to it. They were actually in a basketball training session.
Yeah.
And it carried on beating. So I knew someone in the gymnasium had it on, but they wouldn't admit to it. And then it was just found sort of dumped at the side at the end of the training session. But yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing what they can do, though. Yeah, I mean, that screams to me of just how powerful this sort of technology is. You know, the ability to be able to see someone's heart beating on your iPad, their heart rate, and you know, be able to almost like track that, like it's, you know, a radar on someone is pretty phenomenal. And you think about that in a learning context, it's mind-blowing. And certainly one of my favorite applications and, you know, pieces of equipment for sure. What about things that you've done? I mean, there's lots of stuff that's been successful and, you know, you've used regularly. What about stuff that you've tried and hasn't been so successful? I mean, there's plenty of things that I've done and, you know, agreed that I'll never do that again. What about you? Any big fails or things that haven't worked as planned?
What, in just technology or?
Yeah, no, I mean using tech in your class.
I think I was setting up for something. Oh, I could tell. I was doing a yoga class with a grade 5 class the other day, and I was asked to move classrooms. So I moved classrooms, and the Apple TV wouldn't work, the projector wouldn't work, and the clock's ticking, and I've only got an hour with these students.
Mm.
And I'm like, oh man, what am I going to do here? So eventually, and I'm not very good at yoga, so obviously I was using the Yoga Studio, which is a great app if no one else has used it before. And I've got it on my phone, and I'm like, the only way I'm going to be able to do this is just have some nice music on in the background, have the phone in front of me, and just try the best I can to lead the session, because I was going to have it on the projector. And I'm a typical runner. Flexibility is not my strong point. I can't touch my toes. But to have, I just had to do the best I could with the iPhone in front of me and
that's awesome.
The speakers with the relaxing music. That's
so good. That, I mean, Yoga Studio.
It happens though.
It does. I mean, yoga. You know, Yoga Studio for me as well is such a savior when it comes to teaching things like that. And I would be exactly like you. If that failed and I had set up that lesson, I would have to try and replicate it with not as much success as they have. And I mean, I think you make a really good point. It does happen. I mean, it happens to me and it happens to everyone who's trying to, you know, try something new. But that's the learning process. I mean, I think it's no different to the students that are in your class who make mistakes and try new things and fail, and we're no different to them. I mean, the only thing that I really despise in teachers is people who aren't willing to put themselves out there and pretend that they're learners as well as students. I mean, I think we ultimately learn more when we have these sort of situations arise in our classroom. So what's probably the biggest, I mean, lesson from all of this that you've come across? I mean, not necessarily about things breaking and not working, but through using tech, is there any big lessons that you've sort of taken away about things that should happen?
Well, I've been discussing on social media this week about one of the articles that I'd wrote about positive relationships in education. And some of that really stemmed from some of the work I was doing within the district and just talking to people and making sure that they took things slowly. Maybe just take one idea and work with that one idea. Because it's so easy, especially for people that are really good with tech, to completely bombard them with lots of different ideas. And, okay, you need to try this app, you need to try that, try this in your lesson. And I think if people can just get good at one thing and use it really well, and then they can start to spread their wings a little bit more and try other new things as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the in the early days, that quick win, that really small thing that you can do that has an impact is really quite quite a good way to start, and then from there focusing on one thing at a time. Because I mean, we are phys ed teachers, we tend to be able to adapt and do all that sort of stuff, but we do our best work when we're focusing in on one thing at a time. And I think you've made a very good point there. What about any other apps or resources or things that you do use that that you might be willing to share?
So a big game changer for me this year has got to be Google and just Google Drive, etc. Mm-hmm. Now, I hadn't worked in China. Google's banned, so it can be quite difficult to get Google to work to your advantage. For example, Google Forms, etc.
Yeah.
But this year for me, Google Forms, and for example, my fitness testing now, it's gone from the PE teachers entering in 200-300 students' data into an Excel spreadsheet to us just reviewing the grades and finding out who hasn't inputted the data, because mm-hmm. the kids do it for us now. So they use the Google Form.
Assuming that you've set up a Google Form, and then that form is being populated to a spreadsheet, which you're then using perhaps an add-on to generate that. Is that what's happening?
Yeah. So how we've got it working now is I wanted to be able to see all the data that was coming in. And for me to go and put that in, it's going to take hours. And I'm all about working smarter, not harder. And
absolutely.
With Google Forms, set that up to, for example, they'll put their name, they'll put their PACER test results in, their sit-up test in the fitness unit. And then by using DockerPender, they have their own fitness report as well. So I've got now the data in a spreadsheet that I'm going to need, as well as they've got their own report as well by using one of the add-ons.
And it just all happens all seamlessly for you, which is, I guess, the most exciting part about it. Saved yourself time. You've created this awesome solution that, benefits students and makes it easy for you. So, that's the power of the Google platform, isn't it? Infinitely, there is so much more to come with this that's just going to benefit everyone. So, if you're a teacher and you haven't ventured down and had a look at Google Drive, which you can get for free, and started to explore what it can do for your classroom, then I certainly recommend it. And there's lots of PE teachers who are using it really impressively. So where do you learn your stuff? Where do you go to, or where do you hang out and try and improve on a daily basis?
So we've got all these different platforms, haven't we? We've got Voxer, which is Voxer is basically,
what is Voxer?
Our virtual staff. Voxer is like a walkie-talkie app, so you can have conversations with people all over the world. So I've been collaborating now with two American guys, Justin Schleider and Nick Enlick, and we've managed to create two projects, which was So You Think You Can Balance and So You Think You Are Fit, all through the power of Voxer.
Mm, awesome.
So we discussed everything, and then you're obviously using the Google platform, we've been able to collaborate on those. And then, obviously, Twitter, YouTube, and a lot of time, it's just trying things and seeing what works, what doesn't work, and working it out for yourself. I managed to put in together a house system, a ward system, using the Google platform. And as kids now get awarded, for example, house points, they scan a QR code, they register it, they'll then get added all up automatically within the spreadsheet, and it will also then fire out certificates to them once they reach certain milestones. So just by using Google and different add-ons, but it is a lot of playing around and experimenting and see what works and what doesn't work.
Awesome. I mean, I think that's the key to it all. Like I said earlier, learning is messy, and we want that to be the case. And I just think that teachers who embody that, like you do, ultimately are better teachers. And the fact that people are probably spending time out of their day to listen to this episode reinforces that even more. The willingness to learn is what matters for sure. So, what about live events? Do you head to any sort of conferences or anything along those lines? In either the Middle East or back home or somewhere else?
Yeah. Well. I've just come back from my summer vacation, and we managed to get over to North Carolina for the PE Institute, the national one. where myself and a few others were presenting a little session. Mm-hmm. And that was an amazing opportunity to obviously catch up with yourself and Mr. Andy Vazali. Last time I saw him, we were in Shanghai together. Mm-hmm. And obviously see some other faces that I've only contacted through social media. And then on the horizon is the American School of Dubai. There is a phys ed ME where myself and Osama have really started to work together in the past year now, along with Reema from India. Mm-hmm. And we've put together a Middle East group, and we have Google Hangouts probably every month, as well as myself and Osama doing the PE chat for the Middle East section. So that's coming up. So I'm excited to go and present there. And then literally the day after, I'm actually off to the APEC conference in Hong Kong. So it's going to be a crazy 48 hours, and I'll be presenting there as well, a short little session.
So do you know what you're going to be presenting on at the APEC conference?
Yeah, the APEC conference, it's going to be along the assessment lines. But when I first looked at what they had to offer and what they wanted, the different categories of presentations, it was assessment, technology, TGFU, all things that I'm interested in. So there could be a little bit of everything in there. Yeah. You'll have to wait and see and come and watch.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm really excited to announce that I am one of the sponsors of the APEC conference, and you know, really excited by the fact that this conference is actually put together by teachers. Is that one of the attracting qualities to you as well?
Yeah, the same with the other one that I'm going to for the phys ed ME one. It seems to be the way to go forward now. Teachers teaching teachers, and just carrying on this sharing of good practice that's already happening through the social media platforms.
Absolutely. I mean, it's so much more authentic, and that's what really attracted me to the APEC conference, the ability to you know, connect with people who are actually doing it, not just like vendors who are, you know, there to sell a product or, you know, some sort of service, but people who are right in the coalface doing it. And you've got your, you know, the people who are presenting, connecting with other people who are just on the same, you know, they are in the classroom themselves. So head along to the peergeek.com/conference to learn more about that. Other than that, is there any other leaving sort of comments that you have about technology, and maybe little pieces of advice that you could give to anyone who's just starting this journey?
I think I go back to what I said originally, and about find something and get good at it. Mm-hmm. And then spread your wings from there.
Awesome. No, I think that's the best advice.
I'd like to just say thanks for everything that you do, and keep pushing the technology and PE group forward, etc.
Thank you. It's too much fun, as you know, and I really want to thank you for your time. And where can people find out or connect with you if they you know, want to jump on and learn some more?
They can connect with me at Mr. Adam PE on Twitter, or they can go to my blog, which is MrAdamPE.com.
Awesome. Thanks a lot for your time, Adam. We'll speak to you soon.
Speak to you soon.
Thanks, mate.